Jeremiah chapter 38, and we'll begin reading at verse number 6. Then took they Jeremiah and cast him into the dungeon of Malchiah the son of Hamelech that was in the court of the prison, and they let down Jeremiah with cords, and in the dungeon there was no water, but mire. So Jeremiah sunk in the mire. Now when Ebed-Melech the Ethiopian, one of the eunuchs which was in the king's house, heard that they had put Jeremiah in the dungeon, the king, then sitting in the gate of Benjamin, Ebed-Melech went forth out of the king's house, and spake to the king, saying, excuse me, my lord the king, these men have done evil in all that they have done to Jeremiah the prophet, whom they have cast into the dungeon. And he is like to die for hunger in the place where he is, for there is no more bread in the city. Then the king commanded Ebed-Melech the Ethiopian, saying, take from hence 30 men with thee, and take up Jeremiah the prophet out of the dungeon before he die. So Ebed-Melech took the men with him, and went into the house of the king under the treasury, and took thence old cast clouts and old rotten rags, and let them down by cords into the dungeon to Jeremiah. And Ebed-Melech, the eunuch Ethiopian, said unto Jeremiah, put now these old cast clouts and rotten rags under thine armholes, under the cords. And Jeremiah did so. So they drew up Jeremiah with cords, and took him up out of the dungeon. And Jeremiah remained in the court of the prison. God will bless. Excuse me. The public reading of his holy word. There was a man who came home every night. I don't know what he did for a living, but he was tired. And he used to sit on the chair, lazy boy, and had a little girl, and he'd sit the little girl on his lap, and they'd talk, things like that. But one day he came home from work, and he was extremely tired. And he just needed to have a little nap before dinner was served. So a little girl was there, and he remembered a magazine that he saw the night before in the rack beside him. And in the center of that magazine, there was a map of the world. So he took the map of the world out, the staples out, got the scissors, and he cut it up in little pieces. And he messed it all around, and he presented it to his little girl. And he said, look what Daddy has done for you. It's a puzzle. It's a puzzle of a map of the world. You go put that together. Well, she thought Daddy is pretty smart. And so off she went to put that together. Now, he thought she's going to be gone until dinner for sure. And he lay back in the lazy boy and began to fall asleep. But within 4 or 5 minutes, she's back. And she had this puzzle all together, the map of the world, on top of this piece of cardboard. He said, you went to your mummy. She did that for you, didn't she? She said, no, Daddy. He said, how did you do that so fast? Well, it was easy, she said. Daddy, on the other side of the picture of the map of the world, there was a picture of Jesus. So I just put Jesus together. And when I did, the whole world just fell right into place. I turned it over and there it is. Now, I tell a little story because it is the truth about life. The Lord Jesus Christ, when we put him in his rightful place, that's upon the throne of my heart. That's where he longs to be. That's where he deserves to be, at the center of my life. My Lord, my God, my Master, my Savior, my Shepherd, I belong to thee. Because I trust thee as my Savior. This is what he expects of every man and woman and boy and girl old enough to understand. And when I do that, when I finally do that, my whole world falls into place. And it will. He is a great problem solver. You know, our lives can get very messy. It's a very sinful world. and all these things that are going on, all the temptations of life, and lives get mixed up and all turned upside down. Well, tonight, if you can relate to this, may God bless you. If you're not saved, if you haven't been born again, you couldn't come up here and tell a story of the day or the time in your life when you saw yourself as a guilty sinner in sin and trusted Christ as Savior, and now I'm sure of heaven. If you can't do that, then you're not saved. You're not born again. How important is that? Well, the Lord Jesus Christ said, ye must be born again. Nicodemus was marveling at these words, and he said, marvel not that I say unto thee, Nicodemus, ye must be born again. That born again comes when I trust the Lord Jesus Christ as my Savior. I turn from going my own way in life. I turn 180 degrees. What you're hearing tonight is the best message in its entire world. And this message will be the theme of heaven itself. It's all about the Lord Jesus Christ. We have a man named Jeremiah. There are gospel truths in here that we can relate to. I can certainly relate to it in my life. I wasn't saved until I was 30 years old. He's in a dungeon. Then took they Jeremiah and cast him into the dungeon. And the key word in the chapter 8 verses 7 times is the word dungeon. He's in a dungeon. The word prison is in there twice. Very instructive. Because we are all in a prison house. This actual world that we live in is a prison house. The warden is Satan. The Bible says all the inhabitants of the world belong to him. I don't know if you knew that or not. I did not know that. He is the one. God of this world, small g. Children of the devil, the Lord Jesus Christ said it. We read it again in the epistles. We are children, not of God. I must be born into his family to be a child of God. I got 4 children. They never became my children until they're born into my family. And God says, my family is a spiritual family, made in his image for eternity. And we must be born into it by a second birth, a new birth. Then I get free of the prison. It's a large prison house, and then lives become like a prison house. In the place where he is, in verse number 9. And that's where you are tonight if you're not a believer in Christ. And that's why things haven't been going very well for you in life. And you've been wondering why. Why is my life getting like this, worse and worse all the time? It's because you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. But you're in the right place at the right time tonight to be saved. And many feel they are in prisons, and to them they're just as real as the literal ones with bars. Despair and depression, guilt and regret, immorality, prison house, and drugs, so many things, a prison house, and people are longing to be set free, and they don't know how. They don't know how to do it. I want to stop. I want to stop the way I'm living. I don't like the way I'm living. I want to live for God. I want to be the kind of man my conscience tells me I should be, and I can't. You know, that's the beginning of salvation, to realize that you can't. We can't. None of us can. We need the Lord Jesus Christ to do this. And when I simply bow at his feet and come to him as my Savior, as a sinner and receive him as my Savior, that is when my life falls into place and I have power in my life to stop doing the things I don't want to do, set free, and to have power to do the things I know that are right. It is a miracle indeed that God is performing every day. All over this world today, there have been men and women, boys and girls, who have been saved by trusting Christ as their Savior. It's a very simple message. May God bless it to your heart tonight. You know, it's easy to get into a dungeon of sin. You get ensnared with things in life. Many, many people are. Smelled some good things to eat in the garbage can. So he plunked himself down in the bottom of the garbage can. He's having a fine time down there filling his belly. Now he's full. Time to leave. But he has a problem. He jumps up and he realizes that he can't get up. The sides of the garbage can are very slippery. He's wearing himself out trying to get out of the dungeon he's in. He got what he wanted, all right. But now he can't get out. I don't know if you girls do this or not, but a little girl came out of the house and she wasn't afraid to touch that mouse. She took pity on that mouse and she reached her hand down and picked him up and set him free. And life is like that. Very easy to get into sin, but it's very difficult to get out of it. And the mighty arm of the Lord Jesus Christ can lift you up out of that prison house in a single moment of time. If you want him to. The only people who get saved in this world are people who want to become a new man and a new woman, who are sick and tired of being sick and tired of their life, who do not like the face they see in the mirror, the man I become, the woman I become. I can relate to this because that's exactly how I felt with my life. I felt I was just an excuse for a husband, an excuse for a father. And my prison house was drugs and drinking and so on. And I'm ashamed of the things that I did. But I relate this to you for you to understand that you can be saved in one single moment of time. And I was. Sitting in a chair, in my sins, in a dungeon. Ensnared by these things. I was a slave to these things. And finally, like the prodigal son in Luke chapter 15... You know, I came to myself, at the end of myself. My wit's end. That's from Job. A young man said to a Christian man, I'm at my wit's end. And he said, that's a good place to be because that's where you find God, at your wit's end. I was. God spoke to my heart. And I really felt that I was at like the crossroads of my life. I heard the truth. You're hearing the truth tonight. Do understand, tonight you're hearing the truth from God's Word, the Gospel. The message you're hearing tonight is the same message Paul preached, and Peter preached, and John, and Philip. All the apostles, the disciples, and all the Christians for 2,000 years have been preaching this same simple message. And you'll never hear a better one. The beginning of life is trusting Christ as your Savior. Sitting in a chair, I simply made a choice. My choice was, do I go on living for myself, miserable in my sins, afraid of life itself and afraid of death? Or am I going to make a 180-degree turn? And that takes place in the heart. You don't have to make your feet go anywhere, and you don't have to sign anything. You don't even have to pray anything. You just believe in your heart. God knows your heart right now. He knows what you're thinking right now. If you want to become a new creation in Christ tonight, you can. You can. By simply choosing Christ as your Savior, thanking Him for dying for you, and receiving Him wholeheartedly as your Savior. Now, a miracle takes place. I did that sitting down. I said nothing. I stood up out of my chair, and I knew. I knew that I was a new man. Charles Wesley wrote these words in a hymn. He said, long my imprisoned spirit lay, fast bound in sin and nature's night. Thine eye diffused a quickening ray. I woke, the dungeon flamed with light. My chains fell off. My heart was free. I rose, went forth, and followed thee. That can happen to you tonight. Chains fall right off. It's a miracle. People say, well, God's not doing any miracles today. Well, yes, he is. That's the greatest miracle that could ever happen to a man or a woman. And people say, what happened to you? You are different. You're different. Something about you now. You'll smile and say, yes, let me tell you what happened to me. I have been saved. Now, we're only in a dungeon prior to being born again, and that's why the Savior came. The bars of our prison are sin, and we're all sinners. Some people don't like to admit that, but the truth is we are. Proverbs 5:22, he shall be holden with the cords of his sins. We're all sinners. We're all the same. We're in a prison house, a personal prison house. Isaiah 59:2, your iniquities are separated between you and your God. We can't get out without Christ. I saw a picture of a girl, a very sad picture, and I caught it out. She was about 14 years old. I don't know what kind of mess her life was in. She lived in a town. She wanted out. But you can't run away from your problems. You take the prison house with you wherever you go. She's standing on the side of the highway with her thumb out, hitchhiking a ride. You know how people have signs telling people where they want to go. And her sign said this, anywhere but here. That's how fed up she was. It was sad to see that. But 14 years old. Already her life had become a mess. Now that's the dungeon. Now suddenly we have a desire on the part of a man named Ebed-Melech. We don't know why. We're not told why. But he had a desire to set Jeremiah free. It says, when he heard, he went forth. Now when Ebed-Melech heard, he went forth and he spake to the king. He risked his life. Nobody just walked up to the king and spoke to the king. You had to have an appointment. This man was simply a servant in the king's house. Ethiopian. He's from Ethiopia. His name is Ebed-Melech. He's not even a Jewish man. He's very different from Jeremiah. And for no apparent reason but love, he desired to free Jeremiah. No apparent reason at all. When he heard he was in a prison, and he knew Jeremiah was going to die down in that prison place because he's sinking in the mire, a picture of us sinking in our sin, he goes to the king, risks his life to get him out of there. He's a picture of somebody, isn't he? The Lord Jesus Christ heard the groaning of the prisoners, and he came down from the glory to be our Savior. The Lord Jesus Christ told us why he came down in Isaiah 42:7, to bring out the prisoners from the prison and them that sit in darkness out of the prison house. Salvation is a love story. You probably know this hymn. I was sinking deep in sin, far from a peaceful shore, very deeply stained with sin, sinking to rise no more. Then the master of the sea heard my despairing cry. From the waters lifted me. Now safe am I. Love lifted me. When nothing else could help, love lifted me. And it's only the love of God that can lift you up tonight out of your sin into the arms of Christ. Takes you and holds you like the sheep in Luke 15, the lost sheep. He put them on his shoulders. He's holding on to the sheep. He's carrying that sheep. And that's what it's like to be a Christian. He carries his sheep all through life. The love of God. For God so loved the world. It's the most famous verse in the whole world. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish. Why he gave his Son, that we might not perish, but have everlasting life. There was a Christian man, and the people thought he was a very simple man. You know, he couldn't really do anything. You know, he couldn't count, things like that. They thought. After he died, they went into his little cabin, And they discovered he wasn't so simple after all. They found some poetry he'd written. One of them was this, not very long. Could we with ink the ocean fill, and were the skies of paper made, were every straw on earth a quill, and every man a scribe by trade, to write the love of God above, would drain the ocean dry, nor could the scroll contain the whole that was stretched from sky to sky. That man knew all about the love of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the gospel is a love message. He wants to bless your life. He doesn't want to take anything away from you. Satan has people believing that if I become a Christian, that's the end of my enjoyment of life. When he's a liar with a capital L. He's a liar and a deceiver. The opposite is true. The Lord Jesus Christ said, I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. It means extraordinary life. Life above the ordinary. And that's what we have in Christ. And you can have that tonight in Christ. It was one of those knights and like the castles and so on, the armor. He heard the gospel and it troubled him greatly. Troubled him. He was getting angry because his conscience would bother him. He was getting angry at God. And one night he went out, this is a true story. I read it more than one book. He went out into the night and the moon was full. He went out and he had all his armor on and he had a sword in his hand. He raised his fist up to God and he said out loud, he's all by himself out there, and he said, God, if you're out there, you come down and fight me. What he said. And he waited. And a breeze came up out of nowhere, a little gentle breeze, and a piece of paper. He sees a piece of paper like a leaf rolling along the ground. And he's standing there in amazement watching this. And it comes up, as they say, lo and behold, it rests on his boot. He picked it up. There were three words written on that piece of paper. And it was a verse from 1 John. Three words. And this is what it said. God is love. He doesn't fight anybody. You know, that broke that man's heart. Broke his heart. Threw his sword down. Took his helmet off. Got down on his knees and he wept. He hadn't cried since he was a little boy. He was a knight, you know, with a sword, fighter. He's down on his knees and he wept. Because he knew God loved him that much. And he surrendered his life to Christ. And became a new creation in Christ. And that's what can happen to you tonight. If you want to be set free, may your desire be as the psalmist in Psalm 142 and 7. He said, bring my soul out of prison. Would you like your soul brought out of prison tonight? Are you not tired of being in your prison? No power in your life. Sin having dominion over you, and you know it does. You don't know where you're going. And your life has no purpose. Your life has no meaning. And you don't know where you're going after you die, which means you're lost in your sins. Do you not long to be set free? May God bless you tonight. May this be the night you say, yes. Yes, I'm going to believe the gospel. I want to become a new man, a new woman. That's what I want. I want everything to change in my life. That's what I want. I've been saved now for 30 years. You know how old I am now? Yes, and at the golden age, that's okay. I'm getting closer to heaven. Marvelous to be saved. Those first 30 years, I mean, there were things in my life. I had lots of things, you know, to make a man happy, but I wasn't happy. I had an emptiness in my heart. I'm telling you the truth tonight from the Word of God, and I also can tell you from experience. I can remember well what it was like before I knew Christ.
And what a glorious day it was for me. And those chains fell off of me. And I'm at home, and my wife said, "What? What happened to you? What happened to you?" It's a brand new man. It happens instantly, you know. Just like Jeremiah's deliverance, it happens instantly. Tonight you can be saved. You can become a brand new man, a brand new woman tonight as you sit in your seat by making a choice in your heart. Truly in your heart. Just getting down to business with God and confessing to Him, "I've sinned against you, God. All my life I've been living for me. I've been going my own way and doing the things that please me." Being honest with God. He knows all about you. He's brought you here tonight. God has brought you here tonight to hear this message. You're not here by accident. You're here by design. This is God's way. He loves you. That's the great message of the gospel. It's a message of love. He loves you. He doesn't like to see you sad, unhappy, miserable, going through life like this. He wants to lift you up into His loving arms and bless your life. But you cannot do it until you repent. And that's change your mind. Change your mind about the way you're living. "I don't want to live this way anymore, Lord. I don't. I don't want to be the boss of my life anymore. I don't. I don't want to go on my own way, pleasing me. I don't want to anymore. Lord God, I turn to You and I bow my knees to You and I crown You Lord of my life, my Savior from sin. And You say, if I believe on You, I'm saved. I'm a Christian because of my faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And I take You at Your word." That's faith. And I am saved. That's how you're saved. It's not feeling. It's just believing what God has said. A desire. Ebed-Melech had a desire out of love. The only motive I can see, we can see in this passage, is that he loved Jeremiah. That's all. And he had a desire to set him free, so he goes to the king. And the key, we know what the king said. He read it. He said, "Well, you take 30 men. Take 30 men." I don't know why. Why 30 men? Well, we'll get to that in a second. Wouldn't take 30 men to haul one man out of the pit, would it? There was a design for his deliverance, wasn't there? Planned beforehand. God's salvation was planned. We read in the Word of God, it was planned before He even made the world. This plan of salvation. And there's a plan of salvation now, a design. What we have to do to be saved. He went under the treasury. Under the treasury. You know, the verse in 1 Peter that says we're not redeemed with silver and gold. You know, people sell their souls for silver and gold down here. You can't buy God's salvation. So what did he do? It's quite an amazing thing here. I don't know what. Old caps, flouts are pieces of cloth. The ladies probably know what they are. They make a dress or something. They got some pieces of cloth left over. And they're no good for anything, really. But they put them in this place. And they're old. Old cast clouts. And these rags are rotten. And they're also old. That's interesting, isn't it? I think it's very interesting. Old. Listen to what it says in Micah 5:2. Hundreds of years before Christ came, "But thou, Bethlehem, though thou be little among the thousands in Judah, yet out of thee shall he, Christ Jesus the Lord, come forth unto me, the Father, that is the ruler in Israel, whose goings forth have been from of old." From of old. From everlasting. From the days of eternity. Now, these old cats, clouts, and rotten rags. This is what saved Jeremiah. Those things were of no value to anybody. No value. They saw no beauty in those things. And our salvation comes from somebody that this world places no value on. And there's no beauty that we should desire him. That's why so few are saved.